Now, Lord, may you speak through me, or if need be, in spite of me, as we meditate upon your word as you have given it to us. We are thankful for all your words. Teach us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was composing the children's story for today, I found myself looking at some quotes and clips that were from the movie Chariots of Fire. And among them is a clip I'm going to show you here in a moment, or I hope Kathy can follow the instructions. Look in the manuscript, there's instructions on the manuscript. Eric Little spoke to many groups of people over the course of his time in preparation for the 1924 Olympics. Not all of his words are recorded. In fact, very few are recorded. Ian Charleson, the actor who played Eric Little in the movie, found himself studying the Bible in ways that he never had before. And the words that are at the end of this clip are actually his. But they're composed to resemble what Eric Little himself would have said to an assembled crowd. Roll to the right. Play button on the bottom. Where does the strength to run the straight race come from? From within. From the seed that God has planted in each one of us. The seed that joins with what others give us and which spreads from us to yet others when we show out that we know what we've been given. Thanksgiving Sunday is a day to remember and be thankful. Now, it shouldn't be the only day on which you are thankful for that which God has given you. On your birthday, you should be thankful for life itself. On the birthdays of your children, you should be thankful for having them in your lives, even if on certain particular days you're not very happy with them. On your anniversary, you're thankful for your spouse. On Christmas, we're thankful for the gift of Jesus as he came into the world, while on Easter, we're thankful for the promises of eternal life that he sealed for us in the way that he went out of it. Every day, you should be thankful for the food you eat, the water you drink, the breaths you take, and so on and so forth. As I said to the children, the focus for today is the harvest, the food coming in off the fields and being stored away against the long, cold winter that everybody says is coming again this year. But I think we need to be reminded to be thankful for the harvest and everything else at least once a year. Because humanity as a whole is very prone to forgetting where the strength comes from, where the life comes from, where everything comes from. It's not from ourselves. It's from God. We forget this because the message of the world is that we need to make ourselves great. It's all about hard work and making yourself successful, isn't it? And you can do it. The American dream and the Canadian dream to a certain extent is based upon the premise that anyone with guts and perseverance can go from nothing to, well, the sky's the limit, isn't it? If you work hard, if you put everything you have into it, then you can be successful. It's all about you. People can sit in church for an hour or so every week of their lives, hearing about trust and faith and putting yourselves in God's hands, and then go out into the world and get absolutely hammered with the message that you are the one that makes things happen. It's easy to forget. I heard a story once about a scientist who was volunteered from among his peers to take a message to God. God said, "What can I do for you?" And the scientist replied, "Well, you see, we've come to the conclusion that we don't really need you anymore." And the Almighty said, "Oh? Well, you see, sir, we have learned so much through our science. We can do so much through our science that, well, we really don't need you around anymore. We know how to do pretty much everything that you do." So God said, "Okay, I'll make you a deal. We'll have a contest. It's a man-making contest. If you can make a man the same way I made a man, you win." And the scientist nodded, eager to begin, and he reached down to the ground and he scooped up a handful of dirt and he looked at it for a moment, examining it for what it was and what it might have, and then he said, "Oh, I think we can do something with this, sure." And God said, "No, no, 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 no. First, you make your own dirt. Be thankful." Did you hear that in our scriptures this morning? Be thankful. To the Israelites, be thankful God gave you Moses and that God blessed him with the courage to stand up even to himself when the whole nation found themselves yearning for a God they could see and possibly ostensibly control. He said, "Be thankful when you come into the land and grow your crops in the field that God has given you. You didn't conquer it just by your own will. You didn't settle in it just by your own desire. And nothing grows in it just because you put the seed in the ground. It is God who made this happen. Thank Him for what has happened and what you have been given." And then there's the story of the 10 lepers. I've always enjoyed this story as an example of the limitless nature of God's love. We draw divisions. We are almost obsessive about dividing ourselves into groups of us and not us. And of course, those who fall into the not us camp are barely tolerable life forms whose only aspiration in life is to become part of us. Until they can, send them to the outside, shun them, push them away. Jesus saw 10 sick men asking for mercy, and he healed them. It didn't matter to him that at least one of them was a Samaritan. They were sick and needed something that he could help them with, and so he did. "Go show yourselves to the priests," he said, because the priests would have to pronounce them clean in order for them to be able to return to their families. Now, my understanding is that lepers, like the gentleman in the picture here, they would wrap themselves in bands of cloth and wear cloaks to hide their skin from both the sun and from prying eyes. And someone must have felt something, prompting him to pull back a hood or unwrap an arm, and there, instead of decaying, nerveless flesh, it was whole, warm, complete, healed. And then all of them threw off their wrappings. They saw that they were healed and went off rejoicing. They praised God for the miracle. And perhaps they cried out to the sky, "Thank you, God, for this great blessing." But only one turned back to Jesus himself. Only one said, "We asked Jesus to have mercy on us. We've asked God for cleansing for years, and he sent us Jesus so that we could ask him to do it. A man or the Son of God, whichever, he had to choose to heal us, so I will thank him for what I know he did." Now, the last words that we have Jesus speaking to this man seem to me to be an additional blessing. "Go in peace. Your faith has made you well." There's been a lot of debate over the years about the difference between health and wellness. Health is just that the body has nothing affecting it at a particular moment, while being well is a more holistic description, encompassing body, mind, and spirit. The tenth leper was thankful and was blessed further with wellness. He was also blessed because he, of all the ten, chose to enter into a relationship with Jesus, however brief that engagement was. Yes, he might say to his friends later, "We all called out to him, and he in turn called out to all of us, but I went back and spoke to him, and he touched me, and he blessed me, and he treated me like one of his children." Where that man went, what seeds he planted in those whom he met throughout the remainder of his life, we can't say. Like so many others, he disappears into the biblical narrative at this point. But in being thankful, we're shown that there's an even greater reward waiting for us in God's hands. Now, I entitled this message, "Open-Handed Thankfulness," because I wanted to contrast it against what can easily be called closed-handed thankfulness. Those who fall into the latter category are those who, to my thinking, those who may be polite, may be grateful, maybe even very gracious about what they receive from others, but they don't seem to give anything back. They take, but they don't really give. And the way I found myself putting this into thoughts and in words, rather, was, you may thank God, you may thank others for what you receive from them, but what might others thank you for? God has called us to be open-handed with our thankfulness, to pass on what we've received rather than just hoarding it for ourselves. We're meant to share. We're meant to give. We're meant to bless and be blessings to the world as a whole. We're not meant to isolate. We're not meant to divide. We're not meant to care about differences, because God doesn't look at the surface. He looks at the heart. We're meant, to go all the way back to the beginning, we're meant to run the straight race, knowing that God is watching over us all the way. So let's be thankful, and yet let's be generous with what we've received from God's hand. Let us pray. Eternal Father, we receive so much. We receive so many things. We've already mentioned several of them so far in a general sense this morning, and there are many other things that we could think of in particular that we receive as blessings from you. And what we need this morning is the encouragement and the blowing of your Spirit to help us share these things. to help us send these blessings even further onward. Father, you look down, you don't want to see individual plants within us, one seed growing. You're looking for a field of harvest. You're looking for all of us to be showing out many blessings, intertwined with those around us. So when at last you return, you reap entire fields of blessings and bring so many of us to be with you in eternity. And Father, help us to open ourselves if we've been closed, to open our hands if we've kept them shut, to open our lives and our hearts to your movement. Give us courage if we are afraid. Give us joy if we've been sad. Give us what we need to be your people now and forever. Amen.